Ferrari's stated goal this year was to be best of the rest behind Mercedes and Red Bull. And they're not there yet, but they are in clear contention for that position alongside McLaren.
I am sure that, you know, let me stick my neck out. It's a long season. I have a funny feeling that we'll see one or the other Ferrari drivers on the podium this year.
Welcome to the Forza F1 podcast. I'm Aaron Jenkins, the editor of Forza Magazine, and with me, as always, is Andrew Frankel, Forza's Formula One editor. This weekend's Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix had all the ingredients for an amazing race, namely an old-school track that punishes mistakes, two teams with star drivers in near-equal contention for the win, and just 0.4 of a second covering the top eight drivers in qualifying. Then, when you throw in the rain that fell Sunday morning, which forced everyone onto intermediate or wet tires, it was clear we were in for something special. The action started the moment the race began as Red Bull's Max Verstappen flew from third place at the start into the lead in the first corner, in the process sending Mercedes' Lewis Hamilton over the curbs, damaging his car. Halfway through the race, Hamilton slid off the track trying to pass Williams' George Russell, apparently ending his challenge for the win, but less than a minute later, Russell and Mercedes' Valtteri Bottas collided at top speed on the front straight, red flagging the race. This ultimately allowed Hamilton to repair his car and finish the race second behind Verstappen in an amazing recovery drive, and Verstappen himself nearly threw it all away when he lost control of the Red Bull behind the safety car. And that's not to mention the storming performances of McLaren's Lando Norris, who scored the second podium finish of his career, the Ferraris finishing fourth and fifth, or the disastrous days of Red Bull's Sergio Perez, AlphaTauri's Yuki Tsunoda, and Aston Martin's Sebastian Vettel. All in all, Andrew, it's hard to ask for a more exciting race.
No, I thought it was absolutely brilliant. You know, because you and I live in California, the question of do we get up at 5 o'clock in the morning? And I knew this would be a cracker, partly because, as you said, the makeup of the track, and because the Red Bull is now a little bit better than the Mercedes. But what was astonishing was Hamilton's qualifying lap. And if that Mercedes is a little bit inferior to the Red Bull, to pull that pole position out of the bag, I think it will go down in history as one of his best of, let us not forget, 99. And that really is absolutely staggering. I have to be honest, last year I was a little bit fed up with Hamilton, with all his shenanigans. This year he seemed to be smiling. He loves the challenge. He seems like a different person. And I'm thrilled to bits, and I can't wait for the next race and the race after that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you about Hamilton getting into the challenge in both the first race and at this one. Whenever he's interviewed, you can hear in his voice that he's really excited by it and looking forward to battling Verstappen, which is, of course, what happened. Taking it from the start of the race, we had a fascinating battle at the front. As you mentioned, Hamilton qualified on pole. Perez was second ahead of Verstappen, although Perez was the only of the three drivers on soft tires. The other had mediums. But Bottas was way back in eighth, a victim to the extremely tight qualifying session. Hamilton had track advantage, but Red Bull had the strategy advantage because they had two cars right up against Mercedes, but it didn't matter, as I mentioned, as Verstappen started in second gear and took the lead in the first turn. If not for that red flag, Max would have run away with the race. As I mentioned, also, Lewis lost part of his wing in that first turn scramble. Regardless, though, I think we saw two superstar drivers at the peak of their powers yesterday. And I'll include Hamilton in that. Although he made the mistake with Russell and slithered off track, he stayed calm. He took ages getting the car into reverse and then backed out completely across the gravel onto the track, something I don't think I've seen before. And then he, thanks to the red flag, admittedly, he got himself sorted again and drove from ninth back to second place. It was just a stunning performance all around.
First of all, as you just mentioned, the race started in the wet. Now, one thing that they do not have is simulators where all these young boys are sitting and, you know, practicing God knows what else. It doesn't rain in their homes and it doesn't rain on their heads as they're playing on the computer. So all of a sudden it's raining and they say, oh my God, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen? They spin off either off or just round like teenagers, which they mostly are. And the rain does tend to separate the men from the boys. It certainly did this time. So Mick Schumacher didn't do too well. Mazepan doing too well. Tsunoda doing too well. So all these youngsters, I don't think we've ever seen rain, suddenly got hit with this. But having said that, of course, Verstappen, who's brilliant, and it does rain an awful lot in Holland, what I love was the way he bounced Hamilton off. And the stewards were also brilliant because there could have been some smart, dare I say, steward who would have wanted to punish him for colliding with Lewis. But no, they let it run, which was beautiful. The way Lewis came back, as we said earlier, to get into the gravel and reverse at 2 miles an hour so that he didn't get stuck. A lot of drivers, lesser drivers, would have revved the engine, would have thrown up the gravel, and that would have been the end of their race. So this is where a master is at work. And, you know, it's a long time since I've been this impressed with him. I thought it was tremendous, his attitude, everything. Verstappen, yes, in a class of his own. And this is the first time in several years, well, since Ferrari were, you know, running away with it, or some races with that sort of trick engine, I actually can't wait for the next race.
You mentioned a minute ago that it was separating the men from the boys, the wet weather, but I can't think of a single driver that didn't have a problem with the wet at some point. Verstappen nearly threw it away at the restart. Leclerc went off track on the formation lap. Alonso slid off. Perez, who I've rated so highly and still do, despite his struggles so far this year, he spun off in a solo spin. So it really shakes things up. And I think it just goes to show, if it wasn't for that, I could imagine having a pretty processional race yesterday.
Also, one thing, and there's always, I mean, the BBC News actually has sort of strips of major items at the bottom of the page. And it said, Hamilton wins new scandal as per normal, referring to the fact that our good friends at Aston Martin went to the FIA protesting that their car has a low rake, whereas some other cars have a high rake, and they claim that they're victimized. And Mercedes also said, well, it's not very nice, but Toto Wolff didn't really jump up and down because, after all, his guy qualified, you know, in pole position. So it's a bit difficult to complain about low rake, high rake, whatever rake, if you are still nearly winning the race.
Yep. And as Red Bull's Christian Horner, if Red Bull has an extremely high rake car, pointed out, Aston Martin agreed to those rules changes. So to come back now in the new season, after everybody's already built their car, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. We talked about Verstappen and Hamilton being superstars, and at the same time, their teammates kind of proved that they aren't. At least they're certainly not in the same class. After qualifying eighth, Bottas stayed there pretty much for the entire race, which was why he was in a position to collide with Russell. And it was another disastrous weekend for him, just all in all. And we mentioned Perez. He didn't exactly have competitive speed in qualifying due to being on the different tires, and he was passed by Leclerc right at the start, but he seemed to be holding his own in fourth or thereabouts for most of the race until, unfortunately, after the restart, he had a solo spin and fell back. Nothing at all for Toto Wolff to be happy with Bottas about, and I think a fair bit actually for Red Bull to be happy with Perez about, because up until that one spin, he was doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing, supporting Verstappen. What's your take on that?
Well, just coming back to that little come together with Bottas and Russell, I should just remind especially younger listeners that the tamburello, of course, for all guys like me is synonymous with Ayrton Senna's fatal accident on the 1st of May, 1994. So the minute somebody says Tamburello to me, I have this sort of horrible, horrible recall of what happened on that day. These two guys were very lucky. The cars are, of course, a lot stronger. It doesn't make it a lot easier for Toto Wolff and Mercedes to rebuild that Mercedes, who really looked like a big mess. And now that there is this cap, you know, cost cap, he has to rebuild it from less money. And he suggested that it might be a little bit difficult. As far as Russell's car is concerned, well, they're in an even bigger pickle, because Williams have an awful lot less money than anybody else. And their other driver, Latifi, successfully semi-wrote off their other car as well. So all in all, it was a little bit of a black day, but we've just heard that Russell actually, having sort of calmed down, he issued a public apology to say, it was my fault and I should learn and I'll be a better person. And blah, 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 blah.
And anyway, do you think that public apology is because Russell is, of course, a Mercedes junior driver, yet he was the guy in his Williams who was involved in both incidents, both with Hamilton and Bottas, and he very much wants Bottas's seat next year?
Well, I as you know, I met him during the winter.
Russell.
And we had a lot about Russell and we had a long, long chat. And he made it crystal clear that he sees himself as the heir apparent, if you like, or certainly for the time being, grabbing the second seat. Oh, totally. So it was a little bit of a family affair. It was, in fact, totally a family affair, if you like, between two Mercedes drivers. Not good. But it also gave a chance to some other guys to shine. And I know you were going to move on to Lando Norris.
Yeah, go for it.
Who drove an absolutely demon race. You know, really, the way he went past Armand Leclerc, you know, clean, beautiful, aggressive, controlled.
I think that was that was a fine pass at the restart, although Matteo Binotto, Ferrari team boss, has since said that Leclerc was having radio problems on the restart and didn't actually know that it was going to be a rolling restart when the safety car ducked in. He actually thought it was going to be a standing start. So Leclerc might not have been in his best. And of course, he had Verstappen almost spinning in front of him. So there were a couple issues there. But there was an earlier move by Lando that got him into fourth place eventually, where coming onto the front straight, he went inside, I think it was Gasly. There were three, he made it the third car abreast, squeezing into the right, inches away from the pit wall, heading on to the heading up to the start-finish line, just stayed flat the entire way. If the other cars had moved, it could have been day over for all of them. And that was a brilliant move from Norris.
And of course, his teammate, the much-rated former Grand Prix winner, Ricciardo, is slowly getting into the groove, and he also managed to pick up some points, which is why at the end of the day, Mercedes are leading the championship, the team, and Red Bull are second only just, followed by McLaren. But I'm delighted to say are followed by Ferrari, and fourth is an awful lot better than sixth, as it was last year.
The 7,000-plus members of the Ferrari Club of America, the world's largest Ferrari club, enjoy exciting track events, an internationally recognized concours d'élégance, and a wide variety of year-round social activities. The members of our 16 active regions and 52 chapters throughout the US and Canada also receive our monthly news bulletin, plus Prancing Horse, our full-color quarterly magazine. Our tremendous program of membership benefits even includes discounts at authorized Ferrari dealerships and selected retailers. So join today. Visit us online now at FerrariClubOfAmerica.org.
Yeah, you're right. And they were, Ferrari's really showing that their performance in Bahrain wasn't a fluke. And both drivers survived despite incidents related to the weather. Leclerc, as I mentioned, slid off track on the formation lap. And Sainz, who started 11th, had a couple of runs through the gravel that we saw in replay. But he managed to come back. He managed to hold on and finished fifth. And you and I were talking before the podcast. Ferrari's stated goal this year was to be best of the rest behind Mercedes and Red Bull. And they're not there yet, but they are in clear contention for that position alongside McLaren.
I am sure that, you know, let me stick my neck out. It's a long season. It's going to be even longer with Miami next year, which again, we haven't yet had a chance to mention. I have a funny feeling that we'll see one or the other Ferrari drivers on the podium this year, probably in third position.
I actually had a note here to say exactly the same thing. I'll go further. I'll say that we're going to see a Ferrari on the podium in the first half of the season. That said, a couple of weeks ago, Ferrari vice president and Enzo Ferrari's son, Piero Ferrari, said in an interview that he thought that a win this year wasn't too much to ask. And I think that at least looks to be wildly optimistic.
Well, that would have been, I'm saying this in jest, the car that the company Ferrari gave to Leclerc, which was Monza winning car.
Yeah.
She then went on to donate to Prince Albert. That car would have walked away with the whole thing, but of course, unfortunately, it had a trick engine.
Yes, indeed. So just looking at the rest of the top 10 finishers real quick, Ricciardo finished sixth. You mentioned him already. And actually, I predicted last podcast that Norris only had maybe three races to go before Ricciardo figured out the McLaren and started to beat him. And I think this weekend didn't exactly show me the errors of my ways, but it might not be as easy for Ricciardo as I thought it was going to be. AlphaTauri's Pierre Gasly was seventh, followed by Aston Martin's Lance Stroll, and then the two Alpines, Esteban Ocon leading Fernando Alonso. Pretty much from Gasly on down, though, the finishing order was decided by mistakes and mechanical issues. As we were talking earlier, Alonso slid off the circuit at one point. Sebastian Vettel struggled through yet another terrible weekend before retiring. Yuki Tsunoda dropped out of the points following a solo spin. Haas's Mick Schumacher, as you mentioned, spun and knocked off his car's front wing. But I guess that's all part and parcel of a wet weather race. Was there anything from these other drivers that you wanted to mention?
No, not really. What I was going to mention as an aside, bearing in mind, of course, that this weekend Britain and the world said goodbye to Prince Philip, it was fantastic to see two British drivers on the podium. We had Lewis Hamilton there, we had Lando Norris there, and I must admit, I found it very moving. It was, if you like, a beautiful tribute to someone who was very involved in motor racing. He went to, Silverstone many, many times. I think he was probably president of the British Racing Drivers Club. So it was a wonderful grand finale as far as I'm concerned.
I thought it was fascinating that Formula One actually changed the practice and qualifying times to accommodate his funeral. So that clearly speaks to the importance that he held in England, if nothing else, where Formula One is, of course, based.
This is it. I mean, 90% of the mechanics are British. Most of the cars are made in Britain near Silverstone. I think those lads would have stood whether they were asked or not. The whole nation stopped. And we're now moving on, of course, but to see Her Majesty on her own at age 94, she'll be 95 very shortly, desperately sad.
So next up is the Portuguese Grand Prix, run for the first time last season. Portimão is another old school roller coaster of a track with numerous blind crests. And with luck, we'll get as exciting a race as we did this past weekend in Italy. Andrew, who do you think is going to come out on top in 2 weeks? Is it going to be Verstappen, Hamilton, or somebody else entirely?
I think one or both will be up there at the end unless they crash like they very nearly did on the first corner this time. love to see one of the Ferrari drivers third. McLaren are very, very strong at the moment. Very, very strong. I again, as I said earlier, I can't wait because I find the whole thing so exciting. And the fact that Lewis is loving the whole challenge instead of just, you know, cruising around knowing that he's going to win a race. I just think it's going to be one of the best seasons for a very, very long time. And let me just say, if I may, that the news about Miami is very, very exciting. You know, most of us have been to Miami and we know that they're completely crazy about motor racing, far more than we are here in Marin County. Awful of lot of Ferraris sold. I've been to a couple of Ferrari functions. You couldn't get in, you couldn't get out. They're completely car mad, Ferrari mad. And it's very, very good for the economy. And one other thing, there is no such thing as a sold-out race because with all the boats, those massive great boats bobbing up and down in the harbor, you know, you could accommodate literally 200,000 or 300,000 people.
Well, that'll be a lot like the Monaco Grand Prix or, I guess, Abu Dhabi, which has the strait that runs past the harbor as well. You mentioned the Hamilton and Verstappen almost coming together in the first corner, which would have certainly changed things up if they had crashed. Do you think we'll actually see a crash between them this season?
Oh, I don't have a great deal of money, but I would put all of it on that. I think it's inconceivable that the two of them would crash and spin and probably exchange a few words. But Lewis now appreciates that he's up against someone who is driving as well as he's driving. And it makes such a welcome change from Hamilton first, Bottas second, Hamilton first, Bottas second. I mean, it was appalling. And this is motor racing. I mean, that just that one moment on the first corner when Lewis was airborne. I mean, it was magic.
I agree. That's it for this episode of the Forza F1 podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next installment, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening this week. If you like the podcast, check out our website, forzamag.com. That's forza-mag.com, where you can subscribe to our newsletter for the latest Ferrari news and reviews. You can follow us on social media at forzamag, F-O-R-Z-A-M-A-G, no hyphen.